This is the Power 5 with Cal Lee, Warren Shaw.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Power 5 discussing the top 5 teams in the NBA with yours truly, Cal Lee, and my man, 50 Grand, partner in crime, Mr. Warren Shaw of the Baseline NBA podcast. You know how we roll. It is the all-star edition of the Power 5. And I'm not going to waste any time. Roll out the red carpet. Let my man slide on up in here. Time to start shingling jangling with all of the nice hardware that you normally like to sprout and tout during NBA All-Star Weekend. My brother from another mother is from Warren Shaw, repping out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Are you ready to get it on with the Big Easy, my brother?
I am. I do it for the first time in a very long time. Not going to actually be on the ground running in at All-Star Weekend, but nevertheless, still will be watching it, you know, at home with all my family and friends as well, and taking care of all the coverage that we need to do on a regular basis. Again, I'm very excited about what's going to happen at All-Star Weekend. A lot of great conversation to get into.
Yeah, and it's going to be obviously a very interesting NBA All-Star Weekend, not because of the fanfare, but I am curious though, Shaw. Do you think that the lure of NBA All-Star Weekend, I know we touched upon this back at the beginning of the season, and the fact that once we heard that they were going to yet again have NBA All-Star Weekend in New Orleans, and no disrespect to New Orleans, great town, great vibe, but do you think that it happening here so frequently is starting to wear out the welcome and may even take a little bit off of the luster and excitement that I think people and fans had anticipated with regards to what's happened this offseason leading up to this upcoming NBA All-Star Weekend?
I mean, I guess it depends on your opinion. I think for me, as a fan, somebody goes to All-Star Weekend on a regular basis, I wasn't all excited about going to it to New Orleans in the third time in the last whatever it was, 7 years or whatever. So for me, no. But I think people of New Orleans are extremely happy. If you live there, then great. All this great excitement, all these parties, all these events come to your area, to your town, and influxes the city with a bunch of money and tourism coming in. So, you know, I think people of New Orleans are very excited. But as somebody who goes, for me, it's not all that exciting, you know, and that's why I didn't go back this year myself.
Yeah, I know. It was a yawner for you. It's like, how many more beignets can I possibly fit in my stomach? I understand.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
Especially now with the new logos, man. I mean, we gotta maintain, you know what I'm saying, the physical features and everything, so.
I got nothing to say, Mr. Hulk. Got nothing to say about that.
Oh, no. I thought it was Muscle Ganzi. I thought that's what that was.
You got the
MG in full effect. It's only because my arms are crossed. It's got nothing to do with the actual physical look. I think we were misled when the logos were created.
Well, our lovely graphic designers, man, you know, they said they seem to take a liking to you. And I got no problems with that. You know, I'm a skinny dude. It's all good. You can go in
but
there.
But you are
the
holding the basketball, so everybody clearly knows who has the skills between this tandem.
No, I don't think so. I think they know us, and I'm just holding the basketball to protect myself in case you want to throw bows with all the muscles you got, man.
Nevertheless, we appreciate you and yours for tuning in with us here at the Power 5. Be sure to get at my man Shaw at Shaw Sports NBA or get at me at Gameface Lee. The show, the Baseline NBA podcast, where we discuss the hot button topics of the NBA. Check out the Twitter handle at NBA Baseline, and definitely check out our last show that we dropped. Great show. We had our girl Julie Smith from the Wiz of Oz blog help us break down the Washington Wizards, which does lend a question to when we do drop our Power 5 with the hype that's been rolling in about the Wizards. Can they break our 5? Is this team actually credible enough for us to put them into considerations? We'll definitely check that out in a few moments. But in the meantime, clearly this is NBA All-Star Weekend, NBA All-Star Edition of the Power 5. So we want to go ahead and run through a couple of important storylines that have taken place leading up to NBA All-Star Weekend. Now, the first big news, and Shaw, I know you're getting ready to touch upon this, coming out of Cleveland is the injury to Kevin Love, out for 6 weeks. He had a second opinion regarding his back, and clearly it required surgery. He is gone. But listen, LeBron James, as he said, hey, you know, ain't nothing but a thing that I'm just going to put the team back on my back as usual, and we're going to ride. But when you look at this extensively and understanding the dynamics of the Cleveland Cavaliers being in a flurry of different trade rumors, especially one directly linked to the New York Knicks and the possibility of moving Carmelo Anthony for a Kevin Love trade straight up, does it surprise you knowing that what you know now, that this could have been a missed opportunity for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Well, I don't know if it's a missed opportunity with Carmelo. I think they needed to ride with what they had, and Love's injury is obviously very unfortunate. Don't know the real severity of this injury, because there's some people, I think some GMs are quietly talking that, listen, they don't think he'll really be back this year. Cavs are trying to be really secretive about it and, you know, not get teams too much hope, if you will, you know, by saying he's going to be done. But again, he really could be out 6 weeks, you know, get his legs back underneath him just in time for the playoffs and really, really ready to finish this thing out and have the Cavaliers make a run. But this is a crushing blow, I think, for the interim term, especially as you alluded to with LeBron having to play extra minutes. Kyrie's going to play some extra minutes. And that's why getting the signing of Derek Williams is going to be huge for them now and probably make sure that he stays there for the rest of the season. Channing Frye is going to be the guy that they're going to look to really try to give them some of that points, the points and some of the shooting that Love is going to miss. And I think T.T. Tristan Thompson is going to have to be the guy who picks up the rebounding side.
And listen, we're going to have to watch and kind of monitor how this Cleveland Cavaliers team galvanizes itself. And I think the one thing that we do see here is that this does give opportunity for the Cavaliers and Tyronn Lue to look at their bench as they make this final stretch run, positioning themselves in the playoffs. One thing is for certain. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving have no problems about where they're going to be seated, whether it's 1-2 or possibly 3 in the Eastern Conference standings, because they have the other confidence in the world, whether they are playing all their games at home or they play them on the road, that they still believe that they're the most dominant team. One interesting thing to note, because of the injury to Kevin Love, how ironic, Carmelo Anthony, who was ousted as an Eastern Conference All-Star, is the replacement for Kevin Love. So listen, not that we don't want to pat on the legacy of Carmelo Anthony as much as it is, I do find it kind of funny that he does become the one to replace Kevin Love for the All-Star, Eastern Conference All-Stars.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I think it's really ironic, you know, and then that creates another, you know, little storyline, a little nugget of information there with Melo getting the nod in place of Love. And what's funny too, I think, is Adam Silver just wanted to reward Melo for all the hype and all the BS that he's taken in New York this year, and he's really handled himself well. Say what you want about him as a player, you know, him being selfish and things of that nature. He has an impeccable reputation in terms of dealing with the media and answering all questions, and really just handling himself the way that a true professional should in this situation. So kudos to Melo for that. I don't think he was excited. I think he was ready to go on vacation with Lala, but nevertheless, he's going to have to spend some time in NOLA. But one more thing about the Love thing, you know, being injured, you know, I tweeted out immediately, and it's going to bring us into our next point. I was like, okay, Boston, okay, Washington, Toronto, giddy up. You know, now it's your time to really try to make a power play if you think Love is going to be out. And what did Toronto do, my dude?
Oh, well, a power play was definitely made. And it was, of course, made by our man, your man crush, your executive man crush. You know what I'm saying? Like, you say his name because I can't.
Masai Ujiri, come on, dog. That's the homie.
I know that. I want you to say it because it's the man crush. It can be said with credibility when you say it. You know, the Messiah, as I like to, you know, the second Messiah, because, you know, I said LeBron James is the actual Messiah, pulling off what he did against the Golden State Warriors. But Masai, again, you know, pulls no punches, and he pulls off an incredible move. He winds up getting Serge Ibaka from the Orlando Magic to help bolster that Toronto Raptors front court, which has always been considered very suspect. And you talk about now pairing him up with Jonas Valanciunas and Damari Carroll. And I'd be hard-pressed to tell you that this should not be considered a team that has the capabilities of actually pushing the Cleveland Cavaliers one, maybe two games further than what happened to them last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, whether or not Serge Ibaka is that guy and can be that guy, I think we can get away from the fact that Serge Ibaka has to be the guy that used to be in Oklahoma City. I would rather just him being the person that is capable of blocking out guys like Tristan Thompson and showing a more consistent defensive presence that we just don't see from Jonas Valanciunas. And I think you'll have a Toronto Raptors team with all the confidence, them having that backcourt of DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. I mean, is it far conceived that they should be able to push this Cleveland Cavaliers team regardless if Kevin Love comes back?
That seems to be the consensus. Everybody says Ibaka coming into that role now, being as the third option, really, and maybe even the fourth option, depending on how you feel about Valanciunas, and being a guy who just needs to rebound and defend, kind of like how he did in his early years in OKC, really should put this Toronto Raptors team in the mix, if you will, of chasing down Cleveland and giving them all that they can handle, and giving the rest of the teams in the Eastern Conference all they can handle as well, and that means Boston and Washington primarily. I'm on the fence a little bit. I mean, I think it was a great move. I've been on record on this show many times during this season saying, well, they keep doing what they're doing without a power four. They keep doing what they're doing without a four man, and now they have a legit four man. But I am interested to see, you know, how he meshes I just don't think it didn't click for him in Orlando like the way I thought it would. But I think now that some of that pressure is off of him in terms of being a go-to scorer in Toronto, maybe kind of we see the Ibaka from OKC in a sense, if you will, a guy who just knows his role and only has to do a little bit for his team to succeed.
Well, one of the things that I'm very curious about is the relationship that he's going to try and build with Dwayne Casey. Listen, we've talked about how Dwayne Casey has really come of age as a head coach, and he has basically put this Toronto Raptors team in a position. I do wonder at times now when you see this Toronto Raptors team and how they have struggled so far during the mid portion of this NBA season, if this is a basketball team that is tapped out, if they've basically reached the pinnacle of their of this roster. And so now this type of move, I think, is a solid move. It's not one that I think tips the scales, because I think it really comes down to Serge Ibaka. And I think it comes down to how badly does Serge Ibaka want it? I mean, if you really think about this, this is about as good as opportunity I think Serge Ibaka really has in seeing himself back in that NBA Finals. Number one, he's definitely out of the Western Conference and is not going to have to deal with anything that's happening between Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden, his former teammates. And then really, he only has to contend with one basketball team if the Raptors play up to the potential that this roster looks at. It's which is essentially getting past the Cleveland Cavaliers. And if they go on a good surge, I mean, really kind of end this season on a good note, position themselves as that two seed, maybe even, you know, kind of resurge themselves back to that one seed. I mean, clearly they could put themselves back in the driver's seat once again as being the team that the Cleveland Cavaliers may ultimately have to chase or contend with, so to speak, that's going to give them a push. But I think it's a pipe dream, because unless Serge Ibaka really supplants himself, gets comfortable, and Dwayne Casey uses him the way that I think is necessary for the Raptors to get over the hump, they're no more better to me than the Washington Wizards and basically the Boston Celtics. They're good enough, but they're not going to be good enough to best the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Right. I agree with that. I think, you know, they're basically putting pressure on the rest of the conference. I think Cleveland, it's always going to be their conference to lose, as long as LeBron James is breathing, as far as I'm concerned. And for me, I think Toronto made a move that they needed to make. Kyle Lowry was talking some stuff, you know, just with the game before the trade happened, in terms of like, listen, I'm not saying nothing, but I'm saying
something.
You know what I mean? So, and ironically, you know, he did it in a way that I'm sure he and Masai.
He was LeBronin. This is nothing. He was LeBronin.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, but his management understood and listened to him, understanding that, listen, they were in a tailspin. They've had one of the worst records since, I think it was mid-January, and they've really slid to the middle of the pack, if you will, in the Eastern Conference. So this is a good, this is a move that they needed to make. It makes a lot of sense. Ibaka's going to want to be there for a long time, apparently. You know, he likes the mix there. He likes the management there, too. So giving up Terrence Ross and a first-round pick, I think is fine. You know, I think it's fine for them. And Orlando is, you know, gets Ibaka off their books, gets a guy like Terrence Ross, who they can see if he's going to be able to do anything on the wing now, and also get a first-rounder as well.
And I'm actually happy for Terrence Ross. I've always thought that he was really potentially a solid player that's just kind of always been lost in the sauce playing for, you know, Toronto Raptors. And, you know, if he wasn't going to ultimately play the shooting guard position, if he ultimately wasn't going to be able to play the three position, I think he was best served playing on another basketball team that could really utilize his athleticism. And he has a propensity to excite the game. You know, without him, obviously, he's not a consistent shooter and scorer. But I think that the Orlando Magic is best served probably, you know, giving him an opportunity to go out there and do some things. I mean, the radar definitely won't be on him, and the expectations of him being that sixth guy coming off the bench, that impact scorer, I think now he has a good opportunity to fly under the radar with the Orlando Magic. Finally, some bit of news before we get right into our Power Five, Shaw. And clearly this was not the one that I felt like should be, you know, what we should end all of the tidbits and news. But I do think it's probably important to bring this to light, because we talked about this recently on our podcast, the Baseline NBA podcast, is in reference to the ongoing situation with Charles Oakley and the Knicks owner, James Dolan. So the saga basically comes to a point now where an intervention had to be done. I call it an NBA intervention. Why? Because in order for these two sides to clearly see eye to eye and to come to some semblance of a mutual respect, so to speak, Michael Jordan and Commissioner Adam Silver basically needed to step in and to talk to two of these parties, so at least there's some common ground. The ban has been lifted. But I got to tell you, Shaw, And I don't blame Oakley for feeling this kind of way, because even in the midst of this, and he's saying he's still welcome back to come back to the MSG, he's saying I still want a public apology, clearly because of the embarrassment and the words that were uttered by James Dolan and the Knicks organization as far as to the character of James Dolan. I still find it kind of amusing that Michael Jordan, of all people, is the person who comes in to mediate this kind of drama.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan coming in and working with the Knicks on any level is ironic to me, because I don't know what Jordan and Dolan's relationship
clearly was a favor for Spike Lee.
Yeah, it's,
I mean, he hooked up. He hooked up Mars. He hooked up Mars.
You know, I mean, obviously Jordan and Silver have a relationship. Jordan and Oakley have a great relationship, great friendship that's going on there. But you know, the fact that it happened, and it's, I guess it's done for now, is, again, it's just good for the Knicks. And I think it's good for Charles Oakley for now. But like you said, the saga is not really over, as Oakley's still calling for some things to be right when it comes to Dolan. So, you know, again, I'm glad that in some sense that it's coming to a close. But nevertheless, man, what a scenario. What a wild week for the New York.
It's been interesting, to say the least. And listen, if nothing else, maybe it's given Phil Jackson a little bit of opportunity and time to, you know, probably tone down his Trumpism-like type tweets that he keeps throwing out there on his superstars. And maybe gives him an opportunity to hit the reset button, which is what he is going to have to do, because clearly Carmelo Anthony has no intentions of waiving his no-trade clause. The Knicks organization clearly is still not an organization with a plan in place. And James Dolan needs to kind of circle back and kind of refocus everything back on trying to get this Knicks basketball organization to look like something of a product that the NBA likes to tout on primetime television. And so they got their work cut out for them nonetheless. All right, Shaw, before we get to our Power Five, obviously it's all about NBA All-Star Weekend. And with that being said, we got to talk about the stuff that's happening during NBA All-Star Weekend, namely the Skills Challenge, the three-point challenge, the slam dunk, and the rising stars. So, you know, it's going to be an exciting weekend. You know, there's definitely going to be some guys who want to make a name for themselves by participating in these events. And at the same time as well, too, you got some of the guys who have already made their name as legendary all-stars during the weekend. What is the one thing that you're looking for or expecting to see kind of stand out as you think about this upcoming NBA All-Star Weekend?
Well, I think the biggest thing that everybody's looking for is to how KD and Russell Westbrook interact or don't interact. You know, I worked on a story with my girl Ashley Douglas here and on Shaw Sports, and I was thinking, listen, Russ isn't a starter. So it's feasible that the coach for the Western Conference could very easily not put Russ and KD on the court at the same time. Like, it could happen. So he's not obligated to start Russ. I mean, he can't start Russ because he didn't get that nod, and he can take KD out for Russ at any point during the game. Now, again, I don't think that happens. And by that time on Sunday, things should probably have come to some sort of conclusion one way or other with those two guys. But that's something that I'll definitely be looking for, and I think everybody needs to. And as far as the competitions, you know, I think the dunk contest is going to take obviously a big step back without Zach LaVine in there. And Aaron Gordon is even a little bit hobbled, so hopefully he'll be ready to rock. But I think I'm looking forward most to is probably the three-point contest.
Yeah, I think the three-point contest is going to be awesome. Klay Thompson has already been putting the plug in, you know, how he's approaching it. He doesn't want to get Larry Bird-ish on guys in the back room about it and anything like that. But listen, Klay Thompson has that swagger. Very quiet-like. He doesn't come off boisterous in the sense like Larry Bird does. But I like the fact that he has a level of confidence in him that he believes that he's one of the best, if not the best shooter in the NBA. And certainly this is his platform for him to display that. On the same token, I kind of like the competitive nature of the guys that are stepping in there. This is their opportunity to kind of go toe-to-toe, you know, with one of the most lethal combinations of three-point shooters that you're going to see. So I think it's going to be interesting. One thing that I will note about this upcoming NBA All-Star Weekend, Shaw, I really want to see more so the attitude and the demeanor for these guys. Right now, the NBA fanfare is really, I want to say on some levels, is on an all-time high. And while we're fixated on the drama that exists between Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, I think something can be said that once these guys strip off the uniforms that they play for respectively and kind of represent more for the conferences, that I think that there's a different level of intensity in the way that they compete amongst each other and personally And maybe in that way, it might kind of put things kind of at a truce. I'm sure people are still clamoring for some form of drama. But I think these guys kind of understand the perspective. It's not about them. It's not about their personal gripes. It's about the fans. And I think that those guys are going to be more fixated on giving the fans a show that they deserve, because that's exactly what they pay for.
No, I agree. And you said you just want to see camaraderie. And usually it's always about that. We've been there, you know, in the midst of some things when a lot of drama was happening in terms of the trade talks and things of that nature. But I don't think anything like this, you know, where you know, there's a spurned teammate, if you will, having to play on the team with, you know, his former brother in a lot of sense, too. So I think that is, I think, like I said earlier, that's something that we'll know what's happening with that pretty early on. You know, roughly by Saturday, not going into Sunday, I think we'll have a firm idea, because all the All-Stars need to meet and do their media availability and all that other stuff. And I think all that's going to get worked out. So will they have a little bro hug and dap it up and everything like that, you know, so the fans of New Orleans can enjoy it? Probably. But who knows? Russ is a little ornery dude, so we'll see what's good with that.
Your word, ornery. Cal Lee, Warren Shaw of the Baseline NBA podcast, and this is our show, The Power 5. All right, Shaw, let's go ahead and really quickly run through who you have as selected winners for the upcoming challenges. Let's first go with the Rising All-Stars Challenge. Team USA, Team World, who you got?
Team USA, man. I think Team World took a huge hit with Embiid not being out. Got too many bigs on that roster for me. I like the balance of Team USA, and I think Karl Anthony Towns is going to be looking to put on a massive show. Not going to sleep on the man, Jokic, as well on Team World, but I really think it's Team USA. What you got?
Oh, yeah, I definitely have Team USA. I look up and down this roster, and I just think that there's just way too much talent. While I am intrigued on some of the players that will be representing for Team World, preferably our boy Buddy Hield, repping for the Bahamas. You know, it's not too often that we got an island man out there, Jack, you know what I'm saying, shooting up the shot. He will do all that he can to really help keep the Team World in contention. There's just way too much talent up and down the board. And, you know, one guy I definitely want to look at, and I think you should look for, and we talked about him earlier this season, man, Jonathan Simmons. I really think that with all of the open court flexibility and capabilities, look for this guy to do some explosive dunking in this particular game. He might actually set the tone for the slam dunk contest on NBA Saturday night. All right, let's go ahead and move along to NBA Saturday night, speaking of which. And the Skills Challenge, Shaw, we got some nice people in there, man. And listen, the Skills Challenge has stepped it up over the last couple of years as far as competitive nature goes. People are actually really intrigued about who might actually take it. So who you got on that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun thing. And, you know, the rules on this, I'm still a little leery on. I think they put the bigs against each other and they put the guards against each other. And then, you know, it's the best big against the best guard. I think that's how it went last year. But either way, if Isaiah Thomas and John Wall don't win this thing, or if one of those two don't win it, there's something wrong with the world.
You mean another Russian hack? Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah, I think the fix will definitely be in there. But I'm going to go with IT. I think Wall, his ability is, he's probably faster with the basketball than even IT is. And Isaiah is obviously very damn fast. I think IT is just a better shooter. And I think if he makes his passes and gets those things kind of in on one balance, he should take it. But again, I'm hedging a little bit, but IT is who I'm going with. What about you?
You're going with IT. I'm going to go with the one that nobody is talking about, man. I'm going to go with Gordon Hayward from the Utah Jazz. Yeah. You know, listen, he's like my Billy Hoyt, boy. He's going to come in there, he's going to shock some people. He's probably got the Vegas the Vegas line in his favor, man. I should probably put some money in it, help us actually you know, get our money right for next year's NBA All-Star. So, I definitely have him. I have him as my sleeper pick. But listen, he's you're not losing if you're going to choose between IT and John Wall. Definitely the fastest dudes, but even speed can kill sometimes. But I just like Gordon Hayward, man, flying under the radar. All right, let's go ahead and shift gears to the three-point contest. Very, very highly anticipated. I think you and I have said this once before, man. We were ready to say the three-point contest needs to be the showstopper at the end, given what we saw last year from the slam dunk contest. Who you got, man?
I got Clay, man. Splash Brother number two. You know, I'm definitely going to roll it with the dude out there, Clay. I just feel like he's got the most balanced shot. Doesn't use a lot of doesn't use a lot of jumping in his motion, if you will. Guys like Swaggy P and even CJ McCollum to some degree, you know, they get off the ground a little bit too much for me. I think it's going to be a final between Clay and Eric Gordon. How about you?
Oh, man, I'm looking at the final between Kyrie and Clay Thompson. And wouldn't it be great to add a little more sizzle to the rivalry if Kyrie Irving actually pulls this one out? I mean, yeah. Seriously, you talk about dude really, really like hating that burgundy and gold. I mean, wow, would that not be awesome? But I'm going to go with Klay Thompson. I just think that the shot is too pure and he's too much of in his zone in a competition like this. The setting, I think, is just perfect for the way he shoots the basketball. But I see Kyrie Irving and Klay Thompson as being the finalists. And don't be surprised if Kyrie Irving pushes the needle and forces Klay to actually step up his game. I'm actually expecting that final, if those two meet up, to actually be one of the better finals that we've seen in recent history, 2 years in a row, because last year it was between Steph and Klay Thompson. All right, Shaw, let's go ahead and round this off properly. The slam dunk contest, like you said earlier, a little disappointing because we don't have Zach LaVine. We'd love to see the rematch again between him and Aaron Gordon. But hey, man, I got the Hoopers DeAndre Jordan up in the mix too, so maybe he might spice things up a little bit.
Yeah, DeAndre would be the first big to win it since Dwight Howard, so I definitely think he has a chance in that. And I think you have to go with the guy who a lot of people think should have won last year, especially since he doesn't have the defending champion to compete against in this coming season, and Aaron Gordon, assuming he's healthy. If Aaron Gordon isn't 100% and, you know, he's like, hey, I'm still going to compete, and but he's just not able to get the same lift or not do the same tricks that he was able to do last year, I'm looking for the guy out of Phoenix to come out here and shock the world, Derek Jones Jr. from the Phoenix Suns, and see what he's able to do. I'm a little worried about the James White syndrome, if you will, for Derek Jones, in terms of where everybody hyped up James White a couple years ago when he was on the Knicks team and was in the dunk contest in Houston. But I think, you know, if there's an opening out there, Jones is going to come through and might give Aaron Gordon all he can handle.
What about you, guys? Listen, I got Aaron Gordon, but this just comes down to execution. If Aaron Gordon executes his dunks, I just honestly believe that he's going to wind up being a winner. It's not that I don't have any confidence in DeAndre Jordan or Glenn Robinson III or Derek Jones Jr. as giving us a show. I just think that because there's no Zach LaVine, a lot of people are not going in with the same hype. So I think this just comes down to Aaron Gordon being Aaron Gordon. If he does that, we're going to get a great show. We're going to get a great display of dunks. He's going to force those other three to step up and come up with some creative dunks and maybe even push the needle. Like I've been saying all night, you know, on the show, pushing the needle. He's going to force those guys to push the needle. What I'm expecting from Aaron Gordon, though, is and I don't want to say this to make the comparison of Vince Carter. When I say Vince Carter-esque, I just want to see the aggressiveness. I just want to see flight and aggressiveness. And I think if he does that, keeps the dunks clean, he's basically just, there's nobody stopping him. I just think that he set the tone from last year that he's definitely the man when it comes to dunking next to Zach LaVine in the NBA. And I think ultimately he'll get another opportunity to put his talents on display. All right, there you have it. We gave you our picks for this upcoming NBA All-Star Weekend, covering all the news that's taken place and a lot of news so far. And we haven't even gotten past the NBA All-Star Weekend and break. So it's definitely a lot of stuff happening. With that being said, you know how we do, Shaw. It's time to roll out the Power Five. Are you ready to go, my brother?
Absolutely, man. Let's ride.
All right.
Number five.
In at number five. And you know, we've been talking about this basketball team a little bit for the last couple of weeks. They have finally cracked the five, but they're sharing some opportunity and time with the Houston Rockets, who still stay in our top five, but they are sharing a seat with the Boston Celtics. And what more can be said about the Boston Celtics, Shaw? One of the hottest teams in basketball, playing with one of the hottest players in basketball, Mr. IT. It's time, Isaiah Thomas, who obviously can be now listed as among one of the best pure scorers in Celtics basketball history.
He absolutely is, and you know, kudos to him and Brad Stevens, who's also going to be coaching the Eastern Conference team at the All-Star Weekend. You know, this team has just figured things out towards the latter part of you know, going into the break here. Tough loss against the Chicago Bulls as we record going into the break, but nevertheless, the Celtics team is right there. We're right where they want to be. Probably still need to make a move now that they've seen Toronto do something, and a lot of rumors about what they could have did, that they should have maybe given up Rozier. That was kind of a hang-up for Orlando in terms of getting Ibaka over into Boston, but nevertheless, the Celtics team continues to roll.
Number four.
All right, number four, Shaw, the fourth best team, the Washington Wizards. What more can be said? This is another team, man, on the rise. It's really surprising to see Eastern Conference teams certainly playing at a very high level and really at a time where the Cleveland Cavaliers have been just trying to stay afloat. But the Washington Wizards have been so impressive, especially that 20-plus point beatdown of the Oklahoma City Thunder. You got to be impressed with the combination of John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Scott Brooks has been doing a phenomenal job getting the rest of these guys to buy in, and they've just been playing great all-around basketball.
I don't know if there's a team playing with more swag than them right now. And again, I think I said that the last time we did the Power Five. OKC is still going to be, Golden State is still going to be, you know, one of the best teams in the league and going to have the most swag probably going. But this Wizards team, they are feeling it, man. And I look at them and I just see something in them right now that I'm like, all right, you know what? They're about it. They're ready to rock and play anybody. They gave the Cavaliers all they could handle a week or so ago. I don't know what their schedule looks like when they play the Warriors, but I'm anxious to see because I think right now they're ready to play anybody.
Number three.
All right, now the third best team, Shaw, the San Antonio Spurs. We nudged them up to number two. I don't know if we did it because we got bribed by Greg Popovich or we just felt like, you know what, they just looked like the only team that wanted to win this week. But, you know, here again, the San Antonio Spurs, steady as she goes. Interesting, too, how we talk about this basketball team as the second best team in the Western Conference. And LaMarcus Aldridge, with his recent comments, talking about how the Golden State Warriors have four, but we only have one All-Star representing in this NBA All-Star weekend. But listen, man, nothing can be taken away from the fact that this Spurs team just continues to win basketball games.
Absolutely. And LaMarcus is right. You know, we said it earlier when the All-Star reserves and all that was not, there was no reason for four of those guys to be on the team. But, you know, maybe he's a little ornery himself and didn't, you know, he's not a guy who really enjoys All-Star weekend, though. So for him to come out and say that is a little bit shocking, but I guess it's just a respect thing for LMA. And kudos to him for at least wanting to get it done. And he's been struggling a little bit, you know, gone back into his early season funk a little bit, but the Spurs continue to get it done. Everybody just plug and play. Again, like you said, what more can you say about the San Antonio Spurs?
Number two.
Definitely. All right, the number two team representing our Power Five. Again, no shakeup or breakups on this in the top two. We got the Cleveland Cavaliers coming in at second, a very, very distant second. But what more can be said, man? LeBron James, third most minutes in the NBA right now, basically playing at an all-time level, probably not getting enough conversation to talk about being the NBA MVP, although that might get spiked up now with the recent injury to Kevin Love. Kyrie Irving, man, again, displaying spectacular basketball. I mean, this is just a heady basketball team that just knows how to win where they need to win.
Yeah, they have guys who are looking for their opportunity. I think Kyle Korver has really started to figure things out after a rough week and a half or so when he first got traded. Now he is knocking down shots. I think some graphics are going out there that he's seen the most open looks he's ever seen in his NBA career. What a shocker. You know, what can LeBron do for you when it comes to getting some open looks, right? You know what I mean? So, you know, kudos to him for knocking these down now and so many to this roster. Derek Williams also, LeBron seems to like him. So LeBron is taking everybody on his back, saying, follow me, listen, I'm fine. Whatever, I'm going to play these minutes. I'm going to cash clear and continue to roll.
Number one.
All right, and the number one team in our coveted Power Five, Shaw. No arguments, no discussions. And if anybody does, man, they need to be jumping off our Twitter if that's the case, or at least be able to come up with a very good explanation for why they think otherwise. The Golden State Warriors, the number one team right now. Look, they've had a couple of hiccups, but again, it's like once so often, and they're dominating like ever before. After a loss, 128 straight games of not allowing two losses consecutively. It's just absolutely phenomenal. And listen, they're just the best team going right now in the NBA.
Yeah, they don't know anything about streaks unless it's winning. You know, losing streaks does not exist, you know, out there in Oakland. So the Warriors continue to roll, as you alluded to, KD, Durant. Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, they all get it done. And they still don't even have their full guys, their full roster. They're banged up. Livingston's been out. David West has been out. Zaza Pachulia's been out. And they're still getting things done. That just goes to show you when you have four All-Stars, what you can do. Steve Kerr's doing a great job as always. So this Warriors team is going to continue to roll, see if they take their foot off the gas a little bit as they clinch their playoff spot pretty early.
And I'd like to also send a special shout-out to our man JaVale McGee. JaVale, thank you very much, sir, for validating my Cowspiracy theory that you were going to be the starting center for the Golden State Warriors. Even though by default, Zaza Pachulia is injured, still, you can't argue that even if Zaza Pachulia does come back, that if Steve Kerr decides to keep JaVale McGee in there because of what he's been able to do playing with their starting four, what more can be said, man? He's doing the work.
He is. McGee, and he's just getting out of the way. He understands that he's not going to be a feature guy. He's got to rebound. He's got to play defense, you know, get some, pick up some offensive rebounds. score on the alley-oops and things of that nature. He's going to be a garbage guy now. He understands that. I think Kerr and all those guys have done a great job of making sure that message was clear to him. So he's definitely somebody who you know, they cut some of those other guys, you know, for so that they could keep him. So I'm happy for him because I think this is a situation for him that he needed to save his NBA career.
Definitely, definitely. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, our Power Five, the top five teams, and actually you can consider it top six teams, even though the Houston Rockets and the Boston Celtics share that fifth spot. Really impressive list, Shaw, and really an impressive weekend yet to come, man. There's going to be some exciting basketball to be played, some really talented guys on display. I'm excited. I'm sure you're excited, and I'm sure people who are listening to our show, those who are true basketball fanatics and novices and all kinds, are excited to see what's going to take place for this upcoming NBA weekend.
I hope so. I mean, I think, you know, if this is one of the feature events in sports, if you will, and, you know, I hate to knock it, it doesn't mean anything, but it's always so exciting to talk about it, to watch, nevertheless. So I'll be tuned in, you know, Friday through Sunday, watching all the events and, you know, watching all the drama that's unfolds, NBA practice, all that stuff. I'm going to eat it all up because I think it's great, great action. And it's one of two times in the year where you're going to get all the teams and all the executives and all those people kind of in one place. That and during Summer League, you're going to hear a lot of trade discussion going on over the weekend too. So make sure you stay tuned. We have an amazing show, a trade primer coming up with our guy Keith Smith from 16 Wins a Ring. So make sure you get your questions in. Anything that you want to know about trades or any rumors that you've heard out there that you want us to address or have Keith Smith address, make sure you tweet at us and let us know what they are, man.
Definitely, definitely. So for you and yours, we appreciate every single one of you guys. Thank you for tuning in to our extended edition of the Power 5, the All-Star Edition. For the Power 5, Cal Lee, Warren Shaw, be sure to hit up my man Shaw at Shaw Sports NBA or hit us up at NBA Baseline. You know how we roll. Have a great NBA All-Star weekend, and we can't wait to catch up with you this weekend with our upcoming episode of the Baseline NBA podcast. Catch up with you guys next time.